The following program has been furnished and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSCB and KGBC are not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you can join us. And before we get started, I wanted to mention once again to please don't run off and try to implement something you hear discussed on our show, or for that matter, any other show on the air or in person. If the information is coming from someone that doesn't have a clue what your personal facts and circumstances might be, and that's where so many of the YouTube videos and other advice that you might avail yourself of miss the mark. You know, the honey always assumes to get the honey that you've got a certain fact pattern. And again, unless someone's examined your personal facts and circumstances, unique facts and circumstances, there is no way for someone to say, as an example, I saw a YouTube video from a year ago. Now, remember, a year ago, we were in the height of debt problems. Okay, this was during the multifamily disaster that was well underway and not really turned around yet. And I remember seeing a headline on a YouTube video from one of the, I believe it was a Houston platform, local, indicating that, you know, they had a way to turn $20,000 into $250,000 in a relatively short period of time. I want to say it was, 2 years, 5 years, I've forgotten. And this is a platform that, by the way, the leader of it consistently maintains that they can retire you in 2 years, or 5 years was the old mantra. Now I believe it's 2 years, which is the definition of insanity, unless they've got some program besides the one they market. I'm not saying it can't be done. You know, the lottery, Texas Lottery, does it all the time. I just don't think that's how you can invest in real estate assets, particularly multifamily. And I'm going to tell you that even if you suggest that you can get a cumulative 20% or so rate of return year on year, which is what they used to espouse, because I was a member at one time. I know full well the numbers that were put out there. And, of course, it'll be your fault if for some reason you can't achieve those numbers. But if you had a 20% compounded, so year on year compounded return, you couldn't get to 200, roughly 220, much less hit the $500,000 or $800,000 mark. I think there was a video I saw, it may have been the same group that talked about turning 25,000 into 800. Maybe that was from a year prior, before the debt market cratered. So I don't know. Maybe the 250 mark is recalibrated for the debt collapse. But, you know, the problem is these numbers, whether it's this platform or any other, when you invest in multifamily assets or any real estate asset, but multifamily, what's the old expression? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And I would tell you, you know, bigger and harder may not be the right adjectives, but you get the drift. And the beauty about multifamily, and it is a true statement, the overall business model that some of these platforms used, including this one, is sound. It's just, it's not necessarily normal at the moment. and hadn't been for a couple years now. And, you know, when you look at the fact that none of these sales lines or sales, you know, things that get you excited, I'm going to call them representations, even though they wouldn't. Trust me, they've got disclaimers 19 ways till Sunday. But none of them presume that you may have a deal or three go south, totally south, where you get zero of your capital back. And for someone to get on the air and on YouTube videos to say, well, I've never lost money on a piece of real estate, well, he contradicts himself in another video where he talks about a property he did lose money on. And so you never know which side of the bed we get up on today. You know, the one that never lost money or the one that has lost money, and it's documentable. It's actually online where you can see it. And I know when you tell some fibs along the way, it's hard to remember sometimes just what you said or when you said it. But I'm going to tell you, there are transactions in the last 12 months on almost every platform out there, including this platform based in Houston, one of the largest, where the investors lost their money, and if not all of it, most of it. And they're out there. Ask. Go to the case study. Ask, has there ever been a transaction, or take it by year, has there been a transaction this year that lost investor money? And if the answer is no, then keep backing up a year. And if you get through 2 or 3 years and the answer is all no, they're lying. They're absolutely lying. And in my case, I've got many, many clients that are members of that platform. And I can tell you, I know firsthand, I've seen it, I know firsthand, because when we report tax reporting off of K-1s, we see the gains and the losses, plus the current year net income and net losses more readily, because most real estate projects will have tax losses until the year they sell. But, you know, that mantra, that storytelling may work on people that don't have access to the information I do. And again, you know, we can't pull the wool over the IRS's eyes. We report the gains, losses, et cetera, that were reported to not only the IRS from the partnership, but to the individual partners. And so I don't know why the need to embellish, because this program, like many others, is at base a pretty good program. And in terms of giving people an opportunity that in the passive realm, in other words, you know, there's not too many other opportunities, and there's no other opportunity. I mean, let's just say there's a lot of these platforms that are pretty much equal. It's just some of them sell better, including the aforementioned Houston platform. And again, if you just listen to the Huff, you would think, my God, these guys have figured out what nobody else in the multifamily syndication arena has figured out, i.e., we don't lose money. And I'm just telling you, that's a farce. In any event, for those of you that don't have advisors to go check with on the content you may hear and whether or not it applies to your facts and circumstances, will help you meet your objectives, feel free to go to our website at beaplanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER.com. And if you'll go to the top menu bar towards the right, I believe it's second from the right, you'll see a forms link. And if you'll go to that page and fill out at least step one, form one, the profile, client profile, I'll be happy to spend some time with you to help you understand how we might be of assistance to you. And, you know, our aim is to simply help you understand what you're signing up for from a financial projection pro forma standpoint. We can decipher the numbers you know, it's a lot easier for somebody that does this every day than somebody that's looking at it literally for the first time in their life. And if you don't understand what you're signing up for, now I'm not saying you understand, you're able to read the future. I'm just saying, hey, if these pro forma data targets are correct, here's what you're going to get. I'm not a magician. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm an accountant. And I can't tell you all the what ifs and maybes and, you know, who might be doing things that are nefarious within the partnership area for your partnerships. You know, there's things that happen all the time that don't go according to plan. The innocent things we can, you know, chalk that up to maybe outside factors, but then every once in a while you get some bad apples where they literally ran off with the money. And, you know, it doesn't matter which platform, they all have the bad apples. And if someone at any platform tells you they don't, again, you're not getting the truth. But in any event, we'll be happy to take a look at your personal facts and circumstances if you provide them on the client profile form at the forms link from our homepage, and answer your questions as to how, you know, a normal process would work on how we work with clients. One thing I want to mention for those of you that don't know what real estate private partnership syndications are, they're partnerships that involve multiple investors passively. In other words, they're not going to run the partnership. They're providing the capital. They pool their funds into a partnership under the U.S. Securities Exchange Commission's crowdfunding statute. A syndicator, sponsor, or lead partner, there's various terms that all refer to the same role. It's the manager, typically, of an LLC form specifically for choosing the property, performing the due diligence, arranging its acquisition, including undertaking debt placement and equity raised funds. And I'm going to tell you right there, the fact that someone else is the one that's undertaking those roles, it's not you, that defines the passive role. In other words, the antithesis of the manager is the passive partners that don't have to do everything I just mentioned. And, you know, if you're young in life and you don't care to have the, I'm not going to call it a burden, I'm going to call it an opportunity, because the manager, by the way, gets a bigger chunk of the cream that comes off the transaction. And typically, they don't put money into the deal for the promote that they receive. So they may collaterally invest money, and in fact, the better platforms mandate that the manager put some of their own money in. But they're also going to get handed, in addition to that, anywhere from 10 to, I've seen as high as 50% of the future upside and cash flow. It's not just the sell at the end. It's cash flow from distributions that are made to the partner group. Now, there's all different flavors of how those amounts, be it cash flow or be it refinanced proceeds from refinancing a loan, or whether it's from selling the partnership, exiting the asset. There's all different techniques and calculations on how those dollars might be shared. And that's the difficulty you've got, or you're tasked with, is to understand you theoretically are going to buy this asset, you're going to have certain tax attributes that accrue to each partner, and you're going to have cash flow. And the challenge is for you to understand this is what's coming to the class of partner that I am purchasing an interest for, and this is when and how those allocations occur. And then at the personal level, you have to understand what limitations do you have with regard to the IRS passive activity loss rules that allow you to use those deductions or write-offs, losses, etc., on a time certain. In other words, if you don't have other passive income in a given year and you're a passive participant, you will not be able to write off those losses until such time as, one, you do have passive income, whether it's from that activity or others, or you dispose of that activity. Then you'll be able to bring those losses forward and apply them against any income or gains that might to happen. In any event, I want to make it clear, one last clarification. The Be A Planner Show or Nathan Ross or MP Ross CPAs or any guests that you may hear on our show does not sell investments, nor do we recommend or promote specific investments, syndicators, sponsors, or lead partners. Rather, we assist your understanding, again, of what you're signing up for, what should you expect regarding opportunities you may be considering. We will show you how to evaluate sponsors, opportunities, and private placement offerings so you can select, emphasize you can select projects which may achieve the highest odds of a favorable outcome. Now, when I say you select a project, yes, we will review any data you give us, whether it's a PPM or a that's private placement memorandum or an operating agreement for the partnership. That's the Bible of the transaction, the manual, the operations manual, if you will. And while we're not going to explain, hey, opportunity A is better than opportunity C, we think you should invest in A, it's not what we do. We show you the merits of each in mathematics as to the pro forma information. Most people are smart people when you show them, hey, these are the projected returns, these are the projected write-offs, etc. I won't need to tell you which one or which two you might focus on. It'll be apparent once you understand what you're looking at. And that's the biggest challenge that you have if you're doing this on your own, because most people don't understand. Even if you understood the metrics of the pro forma information, you've got to run this data through the partnership tax rules that affect both partnerships and individual partners. And I guess the best way I can explain the individual unique characteristics of that exercise, you could be in a partnership, let's make it 100 people, 100 investors, and K-1s could come out, and everybody with your percentage of ownership would get reported, theoretically, the same numbers on those K-1s for that ownership tier. Let's say you own 1% of that overall activity. Your numbers and another partner that owns 1% would, again, theoretically be identical. And there are reasons they could differ, but not because of the ownership. It would be because maybe someone has taken on the role of a guarantor on debt, which I would strongly advise against. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care who the lead partner is. I don't care if it's a pot of gold sitting at the corner of any intersection in southwest, northwest, whatever part of Dallas or Texas you want to talk about, don't do it. And if you don't understand why, look at the partnerships that just handed the property back a week ago, a month ago, 4 months ago, 2 years ago, since the debt structures have been under attack. And, you know, foreclosures and property due on sale clauses are being, well, I'm sorry, not due on sale clauses. I can't think of the term, but when you voluntarily surrender the property back to the lender, what do you think happens to the capital that was put up? And again, in many cases, it's predominantly the passive partner capital. In fact, a lot of folks, in fact, most of our clients are using their retirement monies, 401k, solo K flavors, IRAs, et cetera. Well, it goes away. It's gone. And so, you know, the outcomes can be devastating if you don't have an understanding of the risk. And I don't mean just the economic risk with respect to the market or with respect to the assets. There's a number of risks that are identified. In fact, you can see those in the private placement memorandum. We pay a lot of attention to those risks when we assist clients with undertaking Roth conversions on their 401s and IRAs, because those risk factors become your friend when you understand how to use those to reduce the tax on that Roth conversion, because private company investments are different than if you had a account at Charles Schwab that was full of market-based mutual funds, bonds, stocks, etc., that are not given the benefit of private company discounts. When you have illiquid, you know, lack of marketability for most all these partnerships that do multifamily, you can't sell them until the managing partner says, okay, we've got some offers to purchase our assets, I'm thinking we're going to sell. That's when you'll have the opportunity to sell, just like everybody else in the partnership will have to participate in that sale. In most cases, it's very rare you can hang around and be part of the go-forward on the transaction, unless it's maybe a 1031 tax-free exchange where your partnership is going to give up that asset to a buyer, and then you're going to go execute a 1031 on a purchase. So there are some exceptions, but typically you don't dictate policy when it comes to sales and certain other actions. That's what the lead partner does. And when you sign up, you're signing away, in many cases, your right to make or participate even in most of those types of decisions. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break. We are about the halfway point, looks like. So we will circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us. And as you may have just heard on the break, if you have questions or you have topics you would like to suggest for future shows, please text me at 713-782-1900. And I'll be happy to respond one way or the other. We may have a topic we can cover on the air that'll fit in with some of our planned content in the given week, or maybe we'll do a show totally about that topic, whatever it might be, if it's relevant. Or I may call you back or otherwise communicate. Text is my favorite, and try to help you understand the area you're questioning. We're coming back from, we were talking about assorted representations that are made from some of the platforms that provide real estate private partnership syndication opportunities. And I mentioned, you know, that there tends to be, as you might expect, because, you know, they're selling $35,000 memberships. I mean, that's a steep sell. So at times it seems as if those that are presenting, whether it's ownership or sales staff, client relations staff, etc., they get a bit out over their skis when they're talking about just how well they can take you from being behind on your retirement to being way ahead, or to at least be what they define as retirement. And you may not understand the definition, but they play the short game when it comes to retirement. They look at the fact that if you invest in these multifamily assets historically, and I'm going to use historically in a loving manner, I understand history when it comes to real estate. I also understand once you've refocused, which is my word for retirement. So you've changed your life from the point that maybe you were getting a W-2 paycheck, and maybe what you have now to live off of is the results of your labors over the years, that whether good or bad, we can argue the positives of both, are in a 401 or an IRA. And I am as much against 401s for the right people as I'm for other people. And to just say that 401s are bad or they're stupid or they're illogical, as so many of the gurus do, I'm going to tell you, if you've already got money in a 401, you welcome to the party. You've got an incredible opportunity to invest with the number one best entity type or process. It's the best single way to invest in real estate is using retirement funds from a 401, self-directed 401, to make that investment. And I could go into reasons, and I will go into reasons. I've already talked about a couple of them on the show today, the fact that you get huge discounts to the amount you invested when you're calculating fair market value to be taxed on a Roth conversion. That alone would give you the logic that you need to respond to any of the gurus that are saying, well, you need to rip the Band-Aid off and go invest with non-after-tax money. Pay the taxes that are due now. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard if it's being told to somebody that is going to use the money to go into multifamily real estate partnerships and some other classes of real estate, but I'm just going to focus on multifamily partnerships. And if the guru truly believed what they say, they would be waving the flag for Roth conversions. Please do this. If the mantra would be, if you want to double the throughput over the rest of your life into your refocused years, and again, I'm going to use that word to remove the word retirement. You've refocused. Now you're doing whatever makes you happy, to put it in Marvin Zindler talk of yesteryear. And you now have potentially, if you look at the IRS life expectancy tables, you've got another 20 to 25 years, depending on male or female. The females have us by 3 or 4 years on that count. If you look at the IRS tables, well, think about your lifestyle being maintained over another, 240, 270 months? It's going to take a lot of money. And so, you know, the problem with the way most of the platforms define retirement, they use the word retirement. Nobody retires anymore. I mean, look around. People travel. People get involved in second careers, maybe consulting in an area that they had expertise but were never able to use, working for the man, and they love it. It will extend their life by keeping their brain sharp, which is something I think the gurus count on you not doing with some of the straight, like the one we're talking about. I mean, if they can convince you to cash out your retirement funds, that means you've got half left to go into retirement. In other words, to go into their program and try to catch up. You won't get there in many cases. And if you stumble a time or two, which is to be expected as markets change, and that's going to bring me to our next discussion point from the platforms, you know, you're not going to make it. And so you need every dollar you can muster to get to the finish line. And if somebody's telling you to cut a check for, I don't know, depends on if you're in a state that's got income tax, but let's say you live in the great state of Texas. We should all get down on our knees each night and thank the good Lord above that we ended up in Texas, even if you weren't born here, because we've got a relatively low income tax base. Now, unfortunately, we are in the top rung of states when you factor in all other taxes, you know, the gas tax, the phone tax, just go on through the list. But at least with respect to income tax, which is the big one, we've got a better deal. And yet, it's not a great deal if you're paying half your family's net worth to the IRS just so you can invest in multifamily real estate through a syndication. And what's missing from this equation is most of the platforms will not explain to you that you've got an option. Why? Because they look at it as an entanglement to getting to your money to pay their ginormous fees. And it doesn't have to be. It fits even the fee scenario. I got a way you can pay it without paying tax on it, okay? And so if the founders and barking carnival masters would pay attention and understand that, hey, you can be the hero for those members and help preserve their capital to allow your platform to do more deals, invest in more deals, and create more success. If you're really telling us the truth when you sell your business model for your members, why wouldn't you want it to be twice as good? That's what worries me or bothers me, because I wonder what else are we not being told the truth about with regard to their overall model. Their model could be twice as good if they would learn how to allow members to apply the use of their retirement funds to invest in real estate, to control their money. It's not like it's described, where I've heard, again, the big platform out of Houston, self-made millionaires, explain that 401s don't pay you. You pay the 401. That's, again, insanity in all caps. Absolutely insane to make that statement. And he knows it's not true. Why? Because I've told him it's not true, personally. And so to continue to do that just tells me it's not stupidity. Trust me, self-made millionaire is a sharp, sharp person, very, very sharp. He knows exactly what he's doing, and it's not fair to you as a member to be put at the back of the pack when you first sign up, and there is no way, no way you will ever recover that 40 to 50%, maybe more if you're in a state like California or Arizona. You will never recover to what it could have been had you kept the money at your beck and call through your self-directed plan, where you become the trustee, you're the administrator, you make all the decisions about who, when, what, where, and how much to invest, and you make every decision about when to take money out. You can set that self-directed 401 up to pay you every day if you so choose. So when you hear that rhetoric about, oh, well, you know, you're paying the 401 and you can't get money out to live, it's just totally wrong. It's baloney. It's a lot of things. And it, by all intents and purposes, is insincere when you know better. If you didn't know better, I would almost say, well, you know, that's part of life. But, you know, if you said you didn't know better when you had a deal go under, I promise you it'd be your fault. On most of these platforms, they're going to say, well, that's your fault. You shouldn't have gotten in that deal. You shouldn't have done this. Or you held the asset too long. You know, there's a number of things that I've heard these mentors talk about that, you know, again, it's right 50% of the time. And when it's wrong, that's your fault. If it's right, it's their success for you, et cetera. And I get so tired of hearing it. Just like the other thing, and this is what I alluded to earlier about timing, I get tired of hearing the constant mantra, we make money in the down markets and we make money in the up markets. I'm going to tell you right now, as an organization, that is a true statement. And that's exactly what is being referred to. If you think the people that are selling money or have properties that have been foreclosed on or given back are making the money in the down market, no, it's not. It's not them. Not unless they happen to be putting new money into another deal that's going out the door today at lower prices. And I'll just tell you, the way they seem to beat their chest, that is not reality. And I think most people understand that couldn't possibly be true. But again, the way that this is talked about, it makes you think, oh, they found some magic potion that they sprinkle around, and all of a sudden the deals that everybody else is losing, having money go under, you know, it's just crazy how they think people are going to fall for that. And yet, I got to tell you, every piece of real estate has a chance of being mismanaged, funded in a way that was not perhaps the most savvy way, like the bridge loans that have caused all the problems as of late. And by the way, self-made millionaire, you can go back and play the radios and podcasts. He was late to the party in terms of discouraging people from using bridge debt. I can remember reviewing transactions, talking about them on the air. They were that platform's transactions in many cases, and there was never a public expression of, hey, don't invest in deals that have bridge debt. If they had said that, they would have been out of business because they wouldn't have had any deals to put out to their members. And it wasn't until the cows were well out of the barn, way down the road, did we see any indication that bridge debt from them, that bridge debt was something that ought to be avoided. It was so obvious. And for people that had been around as long as they had, they were here in the mid-'80s when we had the debt malaise, which had a lot of bridge debt that led to that. They were here. It's one of those situations where I don't know if it's worse that they didn't know or they knew but didn't say. You know, one of the two. It's hard to understand, and yet they want to be considered experts. They have the ability, don't forget, to take your $20,000 and turn it into $800,000. Or $250,000 in short order. But having been in existence for at least 20 years or close to 20 years at the point that bridge debt snafus of 2007, 8, and 9 took down so many deals, for them to act like, oh, you know, we didn't know, that's just – or we tried to tell people, no, you didn't. It's well documented as to how late you started telling people. And I just, you know, it's hard to feel like, you know, there was any effort at all to take care of the membership in that case. In any event, there are some things I do agree with on this platform. One, you know, I think it's their it's several platforms. I guess I shouldn't give them credit for this, but it is true. A lot of people say, well, where do I start? How do I get started? And I'm going to tell you, you start at whenever and whatever point you can get started. I mean, I would tell you that you probably need, you know, $100,000 or more in savings to really, you know, get started. But I've known people that have done it with less. And one of the good things about certain of the platforms out there is they'll do it for as little as, I know, I think it's Grant Cardone's platform, which I'm not a fan of, by the way. They'll take as little as $5,000. But I think most of these platforms want 50 at a minimum. And, of course, that doesn't necessarily mean they won't take less. As they get further into a deal, as someone's trying to take down a, you know, 200 or 300-unit complex, and they get towards the end, they may have run through their list of low-hanging fruit on the capital contribution side. And they may be open to $25,000 or so. And you see, so you should always ask. If you've joined a program, I would always ask. And you may be surprised at what the answer is. And again, I know how syndicators think. It's commonsensical, actually. Don't give me credit. They want to fill that roster as fast as they can. And if they've got one investor that can put in, you know, $500,000, well, trust me, they're going to give that person priority over someone that's going to put in five. It's literally the same amount of work for the syndicator to deal with the $5,000 member as it is the $500,000 member. So in any event, it's, you know, something that's always a consideration as to whether they're going to allow lower amounts of capital. The other issue is some of the platforms make the syndicators a mandate that they hold out some spots for non-accredited investors or new members, and that's another door that you might go through to put in less than you might otherwise think. And I would tell you to avoid, I mentioned I've got clients that have put $500,000 or more into transactions. I would limit your investment to no more than $100,000. I've seen it time and again, because when the calamity comes, it's a sick feeling. Well, it's a sick feeling when $100,000 is lost. It's an even sicker feeling if it's much more. And so I would suggest to you, $100,000. If you're not prepared to lose $100,000, I'm going to suggest you need to stay with index funds. But you're always going to be looking at the difference between index funds going out 20 years and multifamily real estate partnerships. And I would tell you that in the good times, the real estate partnerships win every time. But the index funds don't do bad. And the index funds, I don't know, there may be one out there that's totally gone away. I don't think I've seen one, however. I don't think I've seen an index fund that went to zero. That would be almost impossible the way they're constructed. Speaking of funds, I know right now there is a trend to put together funds for investing in multifamily and other real estate. I know that CrowdStreet, CrowdStreet.com, and GlobeStreet.com, and Fundrise is a third one. Trying to think. Oh, Realty Mogul is another. They're all trying to put funds together. I don't like funds. Several things I don't like about them. One, in the context of the self-directed 401, you really need to know what that asset is that's going to be acquired. Specifics. Because there's certain tax treatment that isn't available for certain types of real estate. Multifamily passive ownership is the coup d'etat in the self-directed 401 world. So we like knowing the property that we're going after or we're investing in when we're using retirement money. It's just one of the items of due diligence that we feel like is important. Even though the edges of this rule is somewhat fuzzy, I would tell you eliminate the fuzz by staying in a passive role in multifamily. The other reason I don't like funds is funds take money to run in most cases. And that's where some nefarious activity can pop up. Things get murky at times. I've seen more calamity with the management and the administration of, quote, income funds. There's been several that have involved litigation and government litigation, you know, FBI-type scenarios where fraud has been alleged or occurred. I just don't like funds. I like knowing there's an asset there. There's a managing or syndicator or sponsor or lead partner there. It's a known quantity, and we understand at the end of the day what we're dealing with. Now, let me tell you where funds could be good, assuming everything is above board. It's a seasoned organization, syndicator, that's been to the finish line many times. Their principals have significant net worth, and significant amounts of said net worth put into the fund where they've got an incentive, and where the fee drain or the fee burden is less than norms on one-off situations. And I'm still looking for that one. But the reality is, hey, if you've got all this money pulled together you've theoretically got the leverage, or you've got some leverage, and I don't mean debt leverage. I mean you've got some you're holding some cards that you can play to get a better deal. That happens. I'm sure it happens more than I know, and it happens a lot that I know about. And so, you know, you might look at it as, well, we understand we could have some calamity, but at least the calamity is shared across multiple assets and even more partners, perhaps. But I don't know. I've rarely seen a scenario. Now, something like an index fund market traded, I've seen huge successes with those types of assets. I don't know that I firsthand, and I'm not saying they're not out there, they likely are, have seen a real estate partnership setting that was part of a larger fund where you were benefiting from that depth, because there absolutely can be plenty benefits if it's run by the right people, the asset focus is correct. And I know I'm invested in a, it's not exactly a fund, it's more of a portfolio, 10 property, class A minus to probably B minus or C plus. And, you know, the assets are spread out from South Carolina over to Arkansas, Bentonville. And I took comfort in that scenario because it was across such a wide breadth of assets, and those assets were good. There were no significant issues with any of those properties from what we were told. Now, again, you never know, and I'm not suggesting the operator would be nefarious. I'm just saying, hey, you don't always know. I've seen deals that had people crawling due diligence all over them, and they missed certain things, or they weren't told. They were misconstrued. Anyway, well, listen, we're at the end of the show today. We appreciate you tuning in. We will be back on Friday at 11 a.m. Central Time. I believe Mr. Ed Mattingly, my attorney associate, will be joining me. And we look forward to being able to bring the show again, KSEV AM 700 or KGBC AM 1540. The shows come on at the same time. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.